important, okay? But our next speaker is a dear brother from that state up north. Many of you may not, how many know what I'm talking about when we talk about this? There's only one state that borders Ohio in the north, and it's that state up north. He's a dear brother. I'll tell you, when I talk with him, and I love him to death, and he shoots straight with me. Why? Because he teaches Bible. And I just love the brother. His message is going to be those that oppose themselves. So I want you to take heed to what he has to say.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I started to say something about Ed's mom. Abuse of media from Michigan, but I decided not to leave it off. Yeah, leave that go. We're here to say the word of God. It's been a wonderful time with fellowship. You know, it's a joy. I was sitting over there talking to Pastor Jordan and Brother Ted, and I just heard the laughter and the enthusiasm and the passion and the joy of saints being together. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Wow, this is something that the world doesn't have. And I'm just honored and privileged to be here. Thank the brothers of Ohio for inviting me again. After today, you might not want me back. But that's okay. You know, one of the things Paul talked about is the sufferings of Christ. And that's when we actually suffer in his rejection with Paul. You know, a lot of people, they say they follow Paul. But how many don't follow Paul in his sufferings? The sufferings of Christ. That's when the brother hit the road. That's when the opposition happens. The sufferings of this present time is what we talked about last night, Brother Reed, talking about the last days. We can't avoid that. It's a lot of all men because of the dispensation issues of grace today and the long suffering of God and salvation. You know, I share with people, you know, I say this, and sometimes I don't know if it don't click. The dispensation of grace has not always been God's program plan with his people, his eternal purpose. So we're privileged to be born in a dispensation that we can be saved apart from Israel.
Amen.
And Gentiles. And be part of his new creation. That is unbelievable. Only God's wisdom can come up with that. So no matter what you see and feel, God's got a purpose for us. And if you're in Christ, you're part of his eternal purpose. And nothing can stop it. Because the cross accomplished everything he needed to be done. So anyway, with that being said, the lesson kind of follows the template. You can turn it over to, let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 3 first. And then we'll have a word for it. Now, my wife told me, one brother asked me yesterday that I wasn't going to have enough time. And she back and said she's going to be like this. Okay, so I'm looking for her to be my time. Because I want to interview Pastor Gordon. Last time we were wind up. You know, and I've been of the opinion that I don't want to go too long, but I saw these brothers going long. And last time I said, you know, I'm going to take some more time. I took some more time. It's gone. It has been stored up to me. You know, because just trying to be, Bob talks about let everything be done in peace and in order. So there's a structure here. And we need to be respectful of time. Speak to come behind me. So anyway, with that being said, we're going to look at some things today. Is the chart up yet? Okay.
That's what Miles is. Is he on?
Talking about opposing yourself.
See if he's on that.
One of the things, you know, you and I have seen, and, you know, when you get older, you start looking at all the bad decisions, at least I did. You hear? Okay.
And slide your lapel up just a little more.
Okay, thank you. Sometimes you can suffer for stupidity. You know what that means? The Bible says, don't do this if you do it anymore.
Yep.
Anybody have a gift? Just me. But as you grow and mature, that shouldn't be what you still suffer from. Because you got experience. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, people who oppose themselves in society, we say, can't we get it straight? You know, we have a bunch of children. We have 10 adult children. And sometimes you look at them and say, can't they get it straight? What they do eventually after they tear their behind out, right? Over time, some maturity. But when you see that in the world, you say, okay, they don't have light, they have darkness. So you see them keep doing the same thing over and over again. And justify it. That's okay with the world, but believers can oppose themselves too. not oppose God, you oppose yourself. That's sad, because it has to do with our godly education, what Brother Ted started off about, growth and milk doctrine. And I'll say it to you this way, and I'll be as kind as I can, but I'm gonna let the word of God speak. But I'm gonna be as kind as I can. I have no malicious intentions up here, but let God be true. Every man a liar. You know, folks, if you've been saved 30, 40 years and you're still drinking milk, something wrong.
That's right.
Milk is the basic foundation of education. And Paul's epistles has a pattern of growth, going from milk to meat. He lays the foundation. You talk about the establishment. It's a foundation of information you build in your inner man. And the outer man is going to oppose the edification. The outer man is your thinking. It's conformed to the world. It's how we were taught to think before we got saved. So it's always going to compete against what God says and what I think. You know, the problem is always going to be the battle in your mind. That's what the battle's going to be at. Not what, if God's word says this, that's it. Doesn't matter how I feel, what you tell me. So anyway, you're opposing yourself for the believers to actually not use God's words alone. It's the final absolute authority on everything. Period. You don't sit there and negotiate with God about truth. But some of us do. And it might be something like, I'm not going to say anybody here that you know about. I had a friend one day, he was calling and complaining about his wife. He's a preacher. And I said, brother, Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And his response to me was, I'll think about that. That's godly. That's opposing himself. The Lord didn't ask you to think about it. Now, if you want to say, how do I do that? Another brother, a pastor, preacher, I quoted a verse in Ephesians that says, he that loveth his wife, you all know the rest of that verse, right? Can you finish that for me? Loveth himself. You know that's in the Bible. And so I said, if you don't love your wife, you don't love you. He hung up the phone on me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm not trying to hurt you. You need some doctrine. You need some light against the darkness of your thinking. Because this had been something he had been taught, being raised up about the place of the roles of males and females. But anyway, when Paul talked to the Corinthian saints, and our theme had to do with not being children of malice, but talking about being men. He's talking about the Corinthian saints were babes. They opposed God. They opposed God by opposing Paul. When you oppose Paul, you're opposing God. And to me, it doesn't matter. Is the term okay? Whether I say, I understand where this program's at, but I'm doing things in these two programs. Because somebody told me to do that. One of the saddest things to me is when somebody says to me, so-and-so said that. And I say to them, what's that description? So-and-so can be wrong. You guys know that, don't you? I can be wrong. You know that, don't you? What, Gene? Yeah. So, don't believe nothing I say. Believe this book.
Amen.
It's an infallible, inerrant, eternal word of God. And I'll say something else to you. While we're going to be reading these scriptures, they're going to read you. It's the living book of the living God. And when you come to it, you say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. Because to do anything else would be to oppose yourself. The Corinthian saints did that. In verse number 18, 1 Corinthians 3:18. This is my attempt to start off with. I gotta get started. He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he might be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The Corinthian saints valued the wisdom of this world more than the wisdom of God. They valued the religious system that came in through the Satanic policy of evil. You're going to hear me keep saying that over and over. By the way, this is Satan's policy of evil, to oppose what God is doing. He wants you to be ignorant of what God is doing today. And you know, six times Paul uses the phrase, he says, I would not have you be ignorant, brother. And it's been said by our dear brother, there's a great denomination out here called Ignorant Brother. That's Paul's warning of how he's going to attack babes. And in 1 Corinthians, there's two times he uses that phrase. He uses it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's talking about godly sanctification. The Corinthian saints, they were rebelling our sanctification in the dispensation of grace like Israel did with God in the wilderness. They took the satanic policy when it came to sanctification. Then God's put them in a position to be a nation of his own creation. The other one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about spiritual gifts. It's fascinating. That's where the Corinthian saints were. They were ignorant concerning their edification. Now, edification is a building block of doctrine. It's the spiritual doctrine that Paul was given a curriculum to put in your inner man, to build you up in faith, to build a structure of doctrine that you can live in and out of. It's called godly edification. The edification is building something up, but godly means you think like God. You start thinking like God. Well, how does God feel something? He thinks according to his revealed word. God is not talking to you through some magical, mystical means. You know, people, I'll just use some things people use. I have friends that they're saved, but they'll say, I say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Is that your program? You know, it's like somebody taught you to say that, right? I'm blessed. Yeah, with all spiritual, he's going back to Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. He's dealing with Israel's program. Folks, you need to know Israel's program too. So you won't be deceived in going back and doing something that you still think is in the dispensation. You need to know the whole Bible. We need to know Paul's epistles. Excuse me. But God has some people. I got to do this. I'm gonna confess something, okay? I love my pastor, my Bible teacher. He said in a class, I took a grade school of Bible when I was 28. I'm 68 now. He said, fellas, when you're speaking, don't drink water. So last summer conference, my mouth was dry, cotton mouth, and I said, well, Pastor Jordan said, don't drink water. No, I better drink some water. Because I couldn't talk anymore. I had to stop my message because I couldn't talk anymore. Anyway, thank you, brother. You see, I'm supposed to make that decision for me.
That's right.
Because maybe he can go without water. I can't. Yes, and that stuck until I decided to make a decision for myself. Okay, anyway, come over to 2 Timothy. Let's get started. 2 Timothy chapter 2. When Paul's writing to Timothy, our passage is a doctrinal dispensation issue about pastors in Ephesus who are opposing Paul's message of grace. They were opposing Paul, and when you oppose Paul, you oppose the Lord. Because the Lord sent Paul. So Paul is giving this structure of doctrine, this from Romans to Philemon, that you begin to grow from a milk doctrine, from a babe, from an establishment, to meat, to a perfect man. That you're equipped to go do the work in the ministry. And by the way, all of us should be doing that. We're all ambassadors for Christ. One of the things I'm really encouraging when we leave here today that should be the motivation of the conference is go find some lost people. Go give the gospel to somebody. It's not benefiting from all this. Leaving a conference to me should be a motivation to go out there and serve. But we're here as family and friends, right? But to take this and go out to somebody that's lost, they're everywhere, folks. Can we start to complain about these people? Give them the gospel. Instead of talking about what they don't know, they're not supposed to know. They're children of darkness. That's what they're doing. We're children of light.
Amen.
We have the message that God has given to us today to help the save sinners. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So when Paul's dealing with this issue of opposition, our verse comes from verse 23. Your godly edification from Romans to Philemon, the building blocks, has to do with doctrine, proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The Corinthian saints were deceiving themselves. So he says in verse number 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strikes. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, who's really quit on. You all know that, don't you? Timothy's in bed in a fetal position with the drawers crawling because the battle is intense. And he sees Paul about to be offered. And Paul says, I'm reminded of your tears. And Timothy has shut down. So that's an occasion that we can do that too. I think somebody said the other day, we're not an example of leaving the battle. Well, let me say this first. If you've gotten into the battle, some of us never got in the battle. So there's nothing to leave. But when the battle gets intense, the adversary wants you to quit or be discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged? We talked about people being lonely and grateful. Well, you know, don't let him use that as a tactic to deceive you. Be strong in the Lord. And what? The power of whose might? Not your own. That's why when your strength is made perfect, it's in your weakness is where your strength is made perfect. So glory in that. But anyway, he says, jump down to verse 25. In meekness, instruct them to do what? Oppose themselves. There are believers that's typical of the dispensation of grace. Paul's writing this to Timothy over 2,000 years ago. And during the dispensation of grace, there's going to be a more of a norm than an abnormal, excuse me, of believers who oppose themselves. So the question becomes, well, let's read the rest of the verse. If God peradventure were given repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. These folks are missing in action. They're prisoner of war. And quite frankly, they never got in the battle. They just surrendered. They just quit. You see that passage, I wasn't gonna do this, but you see where it says that they may acknowledge the truth, the acknowledgement of the truth? Come over to Titus real quick, verse number one. That's a distinctive term that Paul uses. God would only be saved and do what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. That's your initial basic Romans foundation. Get saved, justification, sanctification, dispensation issues of Israel. And then I'll renew my Romans 12 to 16. But he says over here, excuse me, Paul, the servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm in verse 1. According to the faith of God's elect, and watch this, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after what? Then it says God edification. The issue of acknowledging Paul's distinctive ministry and growing with Paul leads to God edification. And God edification is me being able to think like God in all the details of my life. When I'm going through something, I go to God's word to find the answer, not to social media. Not to an immature saint necessarily, or a weaker brother. I go to God's word, and I talk to them all too many concepts. I get help. By ourselves, folks, we're in trouble. Because the mind, they said the mind's a terrible thing to waste. Edification is a terrible thing to waste. So edification starts with, I'm going to deal with 3 points. It comes from the word of God, number one. It comes from recognizing there's two different programs in the Bible. And last, it comes from recognizing that when we oppose Paul, we're opposing our edification. The issue becomes a battle in your mind. Come with me over to 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite passages. The Corinthian saints were warned against Paul. And folks, we're in a battle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because you don't see physical bullets flying by, there are bullets flying. It's corrupt power. It's designed to interfere with your edification. And the first thing I have to know is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
It didn't come from man. It came from God. God, the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what this book is. So God Almighty, God the Holy Ghost, the third person of Godhead, dictated information, gave revelation to man who wrote this down in the book. And we have a preserved Bible today. You can trust it. You can believe it. But when the Corinthian saints were fighting Paul, 2 Corinthians is a doctrinal exposition of all Paul's experience of the sufferings of Christ. That's what he's sharing his experience, because he's our example. So when you begin to deal with 1 Corinthians, he deals with them opposing him and how they didn't want to suffer with him. They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. They wanted to be popular. Folks, you stand for this message, you're not going to be popular. Was our Lord popular? No. Was Paul popular? No. So if you're popular with people, something wrong with your education. You can do a check. You know, I said to it's a brother who came to the Wyandotte Conference. He had been in the Apostolic Church for 50 years. Brother Damon's 90 years old now. And he is so excited because at some point he got the truth of the revelation, the mystery, and the word got written about it. And he used to come to our home for Bible class. And I forgot I told him this, but I'm going to tell it to you too, because he just told me 2 weeks ago. He said, "You remember what you told us?" I'm thinking, "No." He said, "You told us, open your mouth." Oh, okay. You got to open your mouth, folks. And when Paul opened his mouth, opposition came. Verse number 1. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you," from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. What did I say? Did I say anything? You know, I hear pages turning, and I'm looking at you all. Obviously, something went by. You know, you ever know something, brothers get up and say, "Turn here," and we turn there, then they say, "Turn here." Like, no, stop, stop. So you can do that with me, okay? Hold it. What did you say? So I don't want to lose you. But he says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, being by the meekness and gentleness of Christ," Paul's attitude, that's the mind of Christ, "who am present among you, am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you." You all know this passage, but I want to bring out something. "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence, wherein I think to be bold against some, which think of us." Now remember, it's some. Now in Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, it was more. Some people took Paul's reproof and correction, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and they changed their mind. But there was still some that were opposing him. They went with the satanic policy of evil. They had false apostles. They had preachers. By the way, Satan works to a counterfeit religious system, folks. Let's be clear on that. Like being like the Most guy. So, anyway. He says, "I think to be bold against some which think of us as we walked according to the flesh." They accused Paul of fleshly motives. How dare them? They accused Paul of fleshly motives. Paul was dishonest. Well, watch what he says. "For though we walk in the flesh," what does he say there? "We do not war in the flesh." You're in a battle. But it's not fleshly. You don't use human wisdom to deal with the battle. When you use his human wisdom to deal with the battle that you face every day, that I face every day, that we face in the body, if you're using fleshly information, you're like the Corinthians saints. Your human wisdom has superseded the wisdom of God. And the Corinthians did, they opposed themselves by opposing the word of God. And watch what he says. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds." A stronghold is something that erects itself in your mind. It can be traditions that you still follow. It can be personal experiences that you put over the word of God. You ever had anybody, you show them the verse that said, "But I don't feel that." Have you ever, in a time of stress and duress, let your, Pastor Jordan talks about the emotional instability of our feelings. Your feelings aren't the word of God, folks. But how many people, when it comes to, let's say when the pandemic happened, there was a lot of grace believers who went back to Israel's program for their doctor. You don't know that, don't you? Yeah.
They were right back in the track.
They weren't established. They were babies. So they went back to Israel's program of, you know, looking at the times and the season and all that kind of stuff, and calling them up in the book of Jeremiah. They went back, they left Paul. And then he says, the strongholds can be your opinions, it can be your emotions, it can be your traditions. They're still a part of your belief system. Some of us have been here a long time. Some of us are new to the grace message. And when you have a doctrinal distortion in your inner man and truth comes up, The brother says, I'll think about that. That was one thing. But some people say, yeah, but. Or they'll go back and grab something that has to do with some superstition stuff, like, you know, your car broke down. Yeah, some of y'all shaking your head. You know, God did this to me. Yeah, it always amazes me. How come God lets this happen to this person, but not this person? That would say to me, he's a respected person. Now, he did that in Israel's program. Israel's protected against the climactic issues, against the political issues, against the issues of their health. That's Israel's program. You know what God tells you to do with your health? Take care of yourself. He tells me by saying, Luke, the beloved physician. You all know the verse. I'm not going to take a little wine for that stomach sake. I paraphrase it, but I love that my leader's sick. There was a change in how God was dealing with the body of Christ when Israel set aside. And the Corinthian saints were still back in the program back here, the sign gifts. They struggled with the spiritual gifts. They were still playing with those things, not recognizing that the completed word of God was coming. And when that came, you don't need Brother Shepherd to get up here and tell you what to think. You don't need nobody come along and tell you God is doing this in your life. That's deception. But they had people telling them that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They were telling them how to conduct their lives. Put them in the performance system. Those things can be issues of how you oppose yourself by erecting strongholds. Things to erect themselves in your mind. And I'm trying to say, if I'm not clear, the battle is going to be in your mind, folks. Did you hear me? It's always going to be this thing that's messed up instead of this working in your inner man. I hope you get this. Because it makes no sense for me to get up here and take 45 minutes of your precious life to hear and sit, tell you things that just whatever. You want the word of God to impact you for God's glory and honor. But they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And what he talks about here is casting down imaginations. Now, I want to show you something about imagination. Come over to Jeremiah. I want to see you in Israel's program. Chapter 23. How much time we got?
Keep preaching.
Don't do that. Now, question. Let's do a Bible lesson. When Moses gets the law contract, he gets in Deuteronomy 28 and 26 an outline of all the rest of Israel's program. That starts when they go into Joshua goes in the land, they come out in Judges, and you're in a time where Israel's rebellion, they begin to violate the contract in Leviticus 26, and they go into these successions of judgment. They're called courses. They're courses because one course starts, and then they get a reprieve, and then the first course is there, but another course comes along. And it continues to take them down because of their idolatry until they get taken out of the land. And they go into Gentile captivity. The crown is falling from their heads. They're no longer the head of all nations. They become the tail. The Lord calls that the times of the Gentiles begin. But if you don't understand when you're studying the book of Jeremiah where you fit in Israel's program, you don't have no idea what God is going to do for them. Because when you get to Jeremiah, the first installment of the fifth course that started Isaiah, the Malachi, the fifth course prophets. So when Israel's going to take out the land, they have 70 years that they're supposed to be out the side of the land. And Jeremiah talks about 70 years. That's the first installment of the fifth course. So you got five installments of the five courses, right? So right now, we're in the first installment of the fifth course. Y'all with me? Say no. I know you're not. But that's where you're at, because you got to know where you're at in Israel's program. You got to know where they're at. Israel's supposed to know this. Then Daniel comes along, he gets the additional installments in Daniel chapter 9. So the 70 years, there's another additional 490 years. So when the Lord gets here, you're in the fifth course and the fourth installment. You know what that tells me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not written to you or about you. It's still Israel's program when he's confirming the promises made to the fathers. They had a Bible. They didn't have the mystery program. It didn't exist outside the mind of God. So if I don't understand where we're at here, I'm going to show you some verses that's going to talk about the deception that came for all the racist folks when we went through the pandemic. And people are back here trying to bring something in that's not going to come in until over here. It is amazing. Believers being, Paul calls it being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And he says the way the vehicle is that is by the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. That's a religious system. And it could be believers too. In Acts, we had the conference a couple years ago was supposed to be 2020 business. Paul over in Acts chapter 19, we saw about the pastors in Ephesus. He warns them about two wolves. He warns them about grievous wolves, lost people who come in not sparing the fly. Then he says, some of your own are going to take disciples themselves. That's the departure, folks. Men who you exalt their personalities. Man. Paul said, don't say anything about the man in that which is written. You know what's written about that? Do you know? The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Peter said, depart from me, Lord, Lord, for I'm an evil man. What are you? That's what's written about us. So why are you going to exalt a man instead of the glorified Lord? He is the only one that's worthy to be exalted.
Amen.
God exalts his son, not me and you. Get out the way. I like what John said. He said, I must decrease. That's what we do. We decrease. Because the only things you put on the manifestation of the glory of God living out, the life of Christ being exalted and magnified is what pleases the Father and glorifies the Son. And none of my dirty hands should be on that stuff. At all. So when you're dealing with men, be aware of them. They men. Plus the book. We've heard this week, and I've been in the grace movement for almost 50 years. So many men have departed.
Right.
And you know what happens to the people that's following the man? They depart.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to me, then share with me a scripture. Not what some preacher said. Amen. I'm a preacher. I know us. Confession. I was honored to preach at the Cedar Lake Bible Conference. I haven't forgot where we're at, okay? But as a young man, they gave me Jeremiah 15:16. You know what that verse says? Thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy words were unto me of joy and rejoicing in our heart when I'm called by thy name. Jeremiah reminded himself of the Abrahamic covenant in captivity. I looked at that verse, I didn't know what that verse meant. I didn't know where it fit. I didn't know what it meant. So I preached about Paul and Moses. Caused a ruckus of a young whippersnapper. I didn't know what the verse meant. And I'm going to tell you all, I didn't know what the verse meant. But I didn't know what the verse meant. Today I know what the verse means. Okay? So you got to know what the context is and what the programs are. So you're not listening to somebody that sounds real good, can get you whipped up and hallelujah, praise the Lord. Man, he clueless. He ain't gonna tell you that. But if you're a Bible student, you should be able to test things, prove all things. You should be able to test the scriptures, right? And say, okay, I hear you, but that ain't what it say right.
Amen.
Anyway, the issue of imaginations. I didn't get what I was at. Verse 16, the Lord's talking to Israel because there's false prophets in Israel. And look at verse number 13, first of all. He said, and I've seen following the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to do what? Yeah. Come on down to verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken unto the words of the prophets that prophesied unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, verse number 17, Jeremiah 23:17. They stay still in them that despise me. The Lord has said, you shall have peace. Now remember, they're in captivity. So somebody's coming along and saying, no, God's going to deliver you. No, he said, you're going to be in the first course of punishment. The fifth course to start. getting the first installment, you're gonna be there for 70 years. They come along and say, no, God didn't send them, folks. He sent Jeremiah. You know what they did to Jeremiah? They locked him up. He suffered for telling the truth. Verse number 17. They stay still unto them that despise me. The Lord has said, now watch what this one said, ye shall have peace. They're in captivity, folks. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imaginations of what? That's where your imaginations come from. You created them, God did. They're lies. Then he says, no evil shall come upon you. Now they're in captivity. They're in the land of the Gentiles, the Assyrian captivity, the 10 northern tribes first, and then the Babylonian captivity. And if you read the books of Jeremiah or the Chronicles or the Kings and see how Nebuchadnezzar just wiped them out. He wiped them out. Vicious man. You talking about today? Y'all praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
He didn't spare men, women, old people, children. He wiped them out. And God called him my servant. Huh? You know he called him that, don't you? And when he talks about the evil that comes upon Israel, that's the judgment of God because they broke that law covenant. You with me? Don't think that God doesn't send people against his program in times past to chastise his people, because they were rebellious. Anyway, the imaginations. Verse 18, who stood in the counsel of the Lord and had perceived and heard his word, who marked his word and heard it, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone before you. Let's go down to some other verses for time's sake. Verse 20, notice what they're under. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days. Brother David talked about that yesterday, the program over here. So we're not over here, we're back here, right? So you're in prophecy. And when Jeremiah is talking about this, verse number 23, I have not sent these prophets, yes, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Paul got similar things going on in Corinth. It has to do with the imaginations that they heard from those false apostles. You call them ministers of righteousness. That means they were part of a religious service, a religious counterfeit religious system that said that righteousness was the way you get saved, good works. They preached a program of righteousness, not justification by apart from righteousness or works. But verse number 22, but if they had stood in my counsel, that's his word, and caused my people to hear what? My words, then they should have turned them from the evil way and from the evil doings. Now I'm not gonna go down through the rest of the passage because I don't have time's sake, but if you notice over there in verse 29, talking to Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire? The first issue of authority is the word of God, folks. That's what I'm trying to say. Saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? They steal words. By the way, today, those are the modern translations. They stole some words from the word. Then he says, everyone from his neighbor, behold, I'm against the prophets. We'll go down through that. Now, I'm trying to decide, since I'm back here, your own ideas, opinions, traditions, doctrine, are the issues that's going to oppose God's word. By either opposing the authority of God's word, by your emotions and your experiences, by your traditions that you learn. I was raised in the Baptist church. Thank God I wasn't indoctrinated Baptist. I got saved in May of 1974. I started attending First Lutheran Grace Baptist Church at that time, and we became a Grace Church 2 years later. So I didn't get all that stuff, folks, but some of y'all did. Some of y'all got traditions of men from what you were taught as children, what you were taught in a religious system, and that's going to be stuff that opposes all in doctrine. You got to be aware of that stuff. And then he says, come over to Isaiah, let me show you the two. Come on, Isaiah. Now, when you get to Isaiah, the fifth course that starts with Isaiah. Isaiah 25 and Isaiah 27. We're gonna go back to September, but since I'm over here, might as well just turn over. And we'll connect the dots when we're back. You know, I'm still talking about this battle. Folks, there's two issues in Israel's program. You know when the kingdom's gonna be set up on the earth? When the Lord comes back. Has the Lord come back yet? Isaiah chapter 25. Now this is Isaiah talking to Israel in times past. So times past, but now ages come, right? Isaiah 25, verse 27, I think. Nope, verse number 6. He's talking about the issue of the mountain over here in Jerusalem. That's the second coming. The second coming of Christ has happened. Okay? We're not back here when they're going to captivity. We're not in the dispensation of grace. We're in the ages to come after the 70th week. Are we? You gotta know the time elements, folks. But you'd be like, what are you talking about? Anyway. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ, verse number 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. That's a celebration of the Lamb King. A feast of wines on the leaves of fat things, full of marrow, of wines of the leaves, well defined. Now watch this. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast upon some people. The satanic policy of evil started back here when God gave the Gentile nations, folks. It didn't start here. And it's going to be over to here. The veil is pulled their eyes. They can't see. The satanic policy of evil has cast a veil upon their eyes. And watch what he says. And he will destroy in this fountains the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Y'all see that there? Has that veil been removed? No. You know what he does? He comes and saves the sinner. Takes him out of Adam, puts him in Christ, and gives you a new identity, a new creation. The Spirit of God comes working in you. You become part of a new creation. Now you're not in all the darkness but light. But you know what? Just because he took you out of Adam and put you in Christ, the edification, you got to do something. You got to put some doctrine in you. You can't go around and say, oh, I'm playing and jumping. Yeah, you can, but you won't grow. You'll still be drinking milk. Because you don't think that something's supposed to happen in the dispensation of grace and the veil's supposed to be removed. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Or do you hear what the scripture's saying?
That's the key.
Now, Isaiah's telling his people, notice verse number 8. Now, we know this verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He will swallow up death and victory. Paul quotes that verse. And the Lord will wipe away all tears from off the faces. Is that happening now? No, but it's going to happen. Now he gives you something better. You know what he gives you then? The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be built. Stop looking at the suffering. God allowed this to be that way because the long suffering of God is salvation. If he stops the suffering, they're in the wrath program. And then he gives you the privilege to suffer with him. And if you suffer, he's going to reward you, folks. But you don't look at the suffering. Look at the glory. Look out there. Stop looking at you and look at him. Get your eyes off of circumstances and look at his word and live by faith. Even though you don't feel the sufferings. But the sufferings aren't the issue. God calls those things that are not. It's only work. We're in the victory program. The program of the victory was accomplished right here. The Lord did it all. He did it a little bit. He did it all. For your justification, for your sanctification, for your exaltation. He did it all to accomplish God's program with Israel as well as the dispensation of grace. The two realms of grace. But he's not wiping away tears today. You're going to cry. You know, he says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in what? Pain. Together. Until now. The dispensational issue until now. So he's not fulfilling this verse today. It's to be fulfilled in the program that fits in. And there's a reason why it's not going on today. The formation of the mystery of Christ, the body of Christ, the wonder man, is what he's doing now. He wants you to be educated in your identity. Not just justification, but how you walk. Have you ever, I gotta say this, okay? I believe sometimes the problem with our walk is our foundation is not in place. People stop at justification. Now, this is not my message, okay? I'm going off. But justification is how you get saved. Sanctification is how you get the functional walk. It's called functional life. So when you see a believer not functioning right, you know what foundation you need to go address and help them if they want it. If your life's not functioning right, go back and start dealing with Romans 6, 7, 8. Because I want to step away from pool because I'm excited now. God Almighty, when he put you in Christ, made you a full-grown son.
Amen.
You're no longer children. Stop acting that way. The Corinthian saints weren't functioning as sonship status. And sonship means God Almighty has put you and his family to work together with him. And let Israel never had that privilege. He wants us to be co-laborers together with him by working with Paul. As God would all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Anything else, folks, ain't got nothing to do with God as well. May have to do what you're doing. Else he would have told us to do something else. So I need to go get somebody, witness them, to get saved, and I start the building process. Because it's going to be the doctrine working in you and out of you, to both the will and to do his good pleasure. Not mine. Anyway, chapter 27, let's move on. I got to get stuff here. Now, the first thing is when he sets up his kingdom over here, but there's another creature he's got to deal with. Verse number 1. In that day, the Lord, with his sword and grateful strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. He's going to slay him over here, folks. That's how he's doing now. He accomplished the cross work. Brother Dave talked about when the Israel, he spoiled him here, and then began to, you know, if you were there when the Lord died, you would not understand nothing was going on. You'd have prophecy. Paul begins to come along and add details to the cross and tells you what's happening, which are justification and sanctification. There are further truths about the cross, what it accomplished. They have more advanced information. But he's not going to deal with the adversary, folks, in terms of putting them in his place until over here. He's defeated, but he's still out here running around. I don't need to worry about Satan. He's a defeated foe. Aren't we called more than conquerors? He's going to come along and try to trick you into thinking that God don't love you. Anybody ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Why would the Lord let this happen to me? Well, because of dispensation of grace, he's not doing things that he did in times past. It's the sufferance of this present time. That's what it's called. That's a doctrinal truth given to us by our apostle as sons. And he begins to go through all those things about the consolation ministry of the Holy Spirit. If God be for you, who can be against you? Anyway, come back to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to another lesson. Chapter 10. I wanted to deal with that before I look to the rest of these verses. So the three ways, are we through? Okay. We'll wrap up as we do. Three ways of Paul opposing ourselves is to oppose the word of God as the final authority, to not recognize the twofold authority, and then to oppose the call. Okay? Opposing your edification. Opposing your doctrinal growth. You do that. Because it's been laid out in scriptures how we're supposed to follow Paul. It's not like you got to go figure it out. But somebody said you got to get in the book. Then the book begins to get in you. And your mind renewal happens. And you know what that is to me? I'm going to say this, I'll hit this and I'll stop. You know what the objective to me of the grace message is? It's godly love. You know what God does? He values and esteems you and I better than himself. He says, esteem others. He talks about edifying himself in love. That's the whole, to understand the love of God. To me, in me, and then come out to love you. That's the message of grace. It's not. I know you got dot the I's across the T's. I know you got to understand the time chart, but Christ is living in our heart by faith. So how would the Lord deal with us? Would he love us? Just when, yeah. That's why he can tell me love my wife. And you know, I said, Lord, I don't know how to. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, Paul says, you don't need anybody to teach, but God has taught you how to love. He teaches you through the cross, where he gave his best. And he wants us to glory in the cross. He wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. He wants us to be able to love each other, folks. This whole body outside stuff confuses us. Y'all know that, don't you? We think like the world. See, that's opposing. Back in May of 19, whenever I went to the First Grace Conference, you know what changed my mind about our different genders and races? But by one spirit. Oh, we're all baptized in one body. I'm like, okay, you're my brother.
Amen.
You're my sister. No, really, the Myron news say, I believe that. Some of y'all still oppose that. By your old false belief system. Somebody taught you as a kid. Anyway, I had to throw that one in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to stop with this, okay? Verse number 5. What you're supposed to do with those strongholds is casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every what?
Thought.
Some thoughts or all thoughts? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's your identification. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. And watch verse 7. We just went back to Jeremiah and Isaiah. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do you? Is that the way you judge life? Now, Israel could. They could see the signs, they could see the seasons, they could see when they were in the will of God, when they were out the will of God, by those courses of punishment. They knew that. They saw the Lord come. That's why he's coming with signs and wonders. They're a sign nation. You're not. Signs belong to Israel. Anyway, I needed more time. I'm not going to be disrespectful. Do you look at things, verse 7, do you oppose yourself by looking at things after the outward appearance, judging things what you see, instead of judging according to righteous judgment? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let himself think this again, that even as he is Christ, so are we. Now watch, here's my passage. But though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given me for what? Paul had been given by the glorified Lord the authority for edification. The Corinthian saints fought that edification. They fought Paul. And I don't have time to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 because that's why in that passage, I think Pastor Jordan talked about yesterday, the issue of why right division comes up. There were saints and pastors in Ephesus who went back to the law program. That's what believers do. They go back to Israel's law program. The blessings that they get by believing the lie instead of the truth. Last passage I'll quote in Hebrews chapter 4 says the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints of the marrow. Now watch this. It's a discernment of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That book is reading you right now. It's reading me. Don't play with it. Leave it alone. Because when you're dealing with it, you're dealing with the living God. His word is spoken to us and preserved in the book. I don't need to fight the book. I need to get into a real battle with the adversary and not wrestling against flesh and blood. How many of y'all do that? How many of us do that? That's not the battle, folks. They're in darkness. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the privilege of being able to share with the saints whatever they can take and glean. As they say, eat the meat and throw away the bones. But let's praise you for that because you're worth it. In Christ's name, we give thanks to you.
Take a quick break.
We'll
come right back in.